Could company profits later today lift stock investors from their current funk?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Worries about the economies of Europe, Japan, and China helped shove the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 272 points yesterday, 1.6%. The S&P 500 fell 1.5%, but a countervailing push could come later today as companies start to release their quarterly profits and losses. Monsanto's results come during the trading day, Alcoa's after the market closes. Stock prices have been held up in part by the trend of using profits to buy back companies shares. But are companies taking this too far? Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
Critics say buybacks come at the expense of investment into the company's own business. Michael Mobison takes a different view. He's head of global financial strategies for Credit Suisse. He doesn't think more buybacks mean less investment.
When you buy back stock, it's not like the money disappears. It's going back to investors who themselves are reinvesting it.
So if the company isn't investing in its own business, shareholders can invest in somebody else's. And that sounds like a great idea to Aswath Damodaran. He teaches corporate finance at NYU's Stern School of Business. He looks at the biggest companies buying back the most stock, companies like Microsoft, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, and he sees a pattern.
I mean, you take that list, every single one of them, you look at the last decade, have had a history of destroying value, of investing in things where they have nothing to show for it 5 years out or 10 years out. I mean, I look at that list and say, thank God for buybacks.
In other words, if your company doesn't have great ideas to invest in these days, then giving more money back to shareholders could be the right thing to do. And the market may thank you with a higher stock price. I'm Dan Weissman from Marketplace.
Now let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are close to unchanged. Tracking the strong dollar story again today, the euro is down to 126.68 now. 40 years ago tonight, October 8th, 1974, President Gerald Ford went before Congress and declared a kind of war.
There is only one point on which all advisors have agreed. We must whip inflation right now.
The whip inflation now speech. It was a year after the first OPEC oil embargo. Prices had shot skyward. Inflation in America would average 11% in 1974.
My fellow Americans, 10 days ago, I asked you to get things started by making a list of 10 ways to fight inflation and save energy, to exchange your list with your neighbors and to send me a copy.
It had the feel of a pre-digital social media campaign. Send in your helpful hints, and the administration sends you a little red lapel pin with the letters WIN, W-I-N, Whip Inflation Now, in the mail.
Every housewife knows almost exactly how much she spent for food last week. If you can't spare a penny from your food budget, and I know there are many, surely you can cut the food that you waste by 5%.
Many experts thought this was a knuckleheaded idea.
The problem of controlling inflation is a Federal Reserve problem, and asking the public to solve the problem is both not effective and burdensome.
Alan Meltzer is a professor of political economy at Carnegie Mellon. He says he knew and liked President Ford, thought he was well-intentioned, but poorly advised. Think about it, Meltzer says. If a household switches from orange juice to tap water to save money, what do they do with the extra money? Not save it, but probably spend it, and that spending will continue to feed inflation.
The main thing you can say about those buttons is they came just at the time that the economy headed into a recession. So that threw his whip inflation now program into the ash can.
Inflation didn't really get tamed until Federal Reserve Chair Paul Volcker's tough medicine in the early 1980s. As the once and possibly future king of bonds, Bill Gross, takes over some big portfolios at Janus Capital now after his unceremonious departure from PIMCO. Many have cast this saga as a power struggle at PIMCO. Fortune magazine's senior editor-at-large Alan Sloan has been reflecting on this moment, capital M, for bond investors. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
So we've been talking about the king of bonds, Bill Gross. He's now ensconced at the new place, Janus Capital, but the market is still reverberating from the sudden switch away from PIMCO. Now, as you reflect on what you now know about the story, what's interesting to you about this saga?
that Bill Gross, who for years and years and years was considered an eccentric genius, somehow in the last year turned from being an eccentric genius into being considered a crank and someone who had to go.
And it's not that they looked up the funds that he was controlling and saw bad returns. That wasn't the issue.
Well, the issue is that money started fleeing Gross's funds.
Investors started moving their money.
Right. And there were two funds at PIMCO that he did directly, one of which was called PIMCO Total Return. Then there's one I stumbled on called PIMCO Unconstrained, which, without going into hideous details, unconstrained bond funds give the managers almost total freedom to do whatever they want. It's the hottest part of the bond mutual fund business. The assets in it more than doubled in less than 2 years. Meanwhile, for the last year, Gross's fund was hemorrhaging money and losing market share. The shareholders in this fund lost confidence in Gross. Meanwhile, other managers, nowhere near as well known as Gross, they're drowning in inflows, and Bill is sitting there watching the money leave.
Marketplace regular Alan Sloan is senior editor at large at Fortune. Thank you very much.
My pleasure to be here, David.
The Marketplace team is going to be live on stage in New York next Thursday, October 16th. How I Learned to Stop Worrying and to Love the Numbers. We'll have some compelling special guests. Tickets at 92y.org. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.